ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Parishad Curse by a Brahmana Board, Text 19. Bhuta Puna Vinato Nama Tasya
Bhuta Puna Vinato Nama Tasya
Mahatamai Kanta Parayanasya
Mahatamai Kanta
Parayanasya Yananta Shakti Bhagavan Ananto Shakti Bhagavan Ananto
Yonanta Shakti Bhagavan Ananto
Mahakunat Padyam Anantamahu
Mahakunat Padyam
Anantamahu Kudakuna Vinato Namatasya
Kudakuna Vinato Namatasya
Mahatamai Kanta Paryanasya Shakti Bhagavan Ananto
Yonanta Shakti Bhagavan Ananto
Mahagunat Padyam Anantamahu
Mahagunat Padyam Anantamahu.
Word for translation, Kutaha.
Kutaha.
What to say?
What to say?
Puna.
Puna.
Again.
Again.
Grinata.
Grinata.
One who chants.
One who chants.
Nama.
Nama.
Holy name.
Holy name.
Tasya.
Tasya.
His.
His.
Mahatama.
Mahatama.
Great devotees.
Great devotees.
Ekanta.
Ekanta.
Exclusive.
Exclusive.
Parayanasya.
Parayanasya.
Of one who takes shelter of.
Of one who takes shelter of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He who.
He who.
Ananta.
Ananta.
Is he unlimited?
Is he unlimited?
Shakti.
Shakti.
Potency.
Potency.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead.
Personality of Godhead.
Anantaha.
Anantaha.
Immeasurable.
Immeasurable.
Mahat.
Mahat.
Great.
Great.
Gunatva.
Gunatva.
On account of such attributes.
On account of such attributes.
Yam.
Yam.
Who?
Who?
Anantam.
Anantam.
By the name Ananta.
By the name Ananta.
Ahu.
Ahu.
Is called.
Is called.
Translation. And not to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees, chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency. The personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attribute, is called the Ananta, unlimited. Purport. The Dvija Bandhu, or less intelligent, uncultured men, born of higher castes, put forward many arguments against the lower caste men becoming Brahmanas in this life. They argue that birth in a family of Shudras or less than Shudras is made possible by one's previous sinful acts, and that one therefore has to complete the terms of disadvantages due to lower birth. And to answer these false logicians, Srimad Bhagavatam asserts that one who chants the holy name of the Lord under the direction of a pure devotee can at once get free from the disadvantages due to a lower caste birth. A pure devotee of the Lord does not commit any offense while chanting the holy name of the Lord. There are ten different offenses in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. To chant the holy name under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. Offenseless chanting of the holy name of the Lord is transcendental, and therefore such chanting can at once purify one from the effect of all kinds of previous sins. This offenseless chanting indicates that one has fully understood the transcendental nature of the Holy Name and has thus surrendered unto the Lord. Transcendentally, the Holy Name of the Lord and the Lord Himself are identical, being absolute. The Holy Name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord. The Lord is the all-powerful personality of Godhead, and He has innumerable names which are all none different from Him, and are equally powerful also. In the last word of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that one who surrenders fully unto Him is protected from all sins by the grace of the Lord. Since His name and He Himself are identical, the Holy Name of the Lord can protect the devotee from all effects of sin. The chanting of the Holy Name of the Lord can undoubtedly deliver one from the disadvantages of a lower caste birth. The Lord's unlimited power is extended on and on by the unlimited expansion of the devotees and incarnations, and thus every devotee of the Lord and incarnations also can be equally surcharged with the potency of the Lord. Since the devotee is surcharged with the potency of the Lord, even fractionally, the disqualification due to lower birth cannot stand in the way. Om Agyana Timidan Desya Gyanan Vinashwakara Shakshurimunitam Yena Tesvaya Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahavi Sam Sabhikan Yena Bhutale Swayam Vahakara Malam Dharati Swabhram Tham Mukham Karoti Jachurum Pangum Nagarte Gurum Yakupa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurun Ginatarinam Vancha Kalpa Triyavischa Kripa Sindhuga Evcha Paritanam Pavnevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Radhari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the title of the chapter is Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmana Boy. And yesterday we were hearing these two verses are very close together, because in the previous verse Sri Rasvita Goswami was explaining how being born in a mixed caste generally speaking is seen to be low birth, but by the process of hearing advanced knowledge from great souls, one can actually become elevated or promoted to the highest platform, and all these other disqualifications like birth do not come to the surface, they are not considered. And further on to speak now, he's putting more emphasis upon those who are engaged in the chanting of the holy names of the unlimited personality, the Parabrahman, Supreme Personality of Godhead, under the guidance, of course, of the great devotees. So here the first point in the proper Prabhupada is refuting this point about how one becomes a Brahmana, or how one becomes anything in life just by birth. So normally in the material world, one gives birth and automatically that means one has qualification in terms of beauty, wealth, occupation, family name, etc. But this, of course, is low-class intelligence. It is a low way of thinking that because of birth, one automatically becomes qualified. But in the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purpose of pure devotional service, there are no material qualifications. So birth in the material world, of course, means associating with the modes of material nature. It means duality. It means illusion. It means false conception of life. So these are not all considered to be influential upon one's taking up the process of devotional service or bhakti. Of course, sometimes they serve as impediments, but nevertheless, they are not qualifications for one becoming a practitioner or a receiver of mercy in terms of practicing pure devotional service. So Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, is asserting that anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord, whether they be born in a lower caste, in a mixed caste, they become actually qualified because they are in touch with the unlimited personality, one who has unlimited potency. So the nature of being in this material world, we understand that we are limited. The jiva is a part and parcel of Krishna, so we are the limited. And how is it possible that the limited can try to understand or even come into union with the unlimited personality of Godhead? So sometimes there's that dichotomy where the most limited trying to understand the unlimited, or trying to be reunited with the unlimited. But miraculously enough, by the process of devotional service or bhakti is very powerful, that even the minute, the anu, the minute spark or entity stemming from the unlimited, stemming from the all-potent vibhu, or the all-potent master or incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God, can actually come to an understanding of that Supreme Personality of God through the process of bhakti. So this is why in the end Srila Prabhupada is explaining a very, very important point, that the devotee of the Lord and the incarnations of the Lord are equally as potent. But they become so charged with some of the potencies of the Supreme Lord according to time and circumstance. We know that in the beginning, when Srila Sukadeva Goswami was being questioned by Maharaj Pariksit, speaking about the different potencies of the Lord, speaking about the expansions of the Lord, they came about speaking about the specific incarnations, and Srila Sukadeva Goswami went through a few incarnations explaining their potencies according to time and place, explaining the Kalki avatar, the Purusha avatar, the Yuga avatar, explaining their function, but also explaining how above all of them there is the original personality. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Pritya. That there's only one Ishvara, and all others are his parts and parcels. So although there are so many other candles, there is the original candle. Srila Prabhupada always used that example, that one candle is being used to light many other candles. They have that same potency, but at the end of the day, there is the original candle. So Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. All expansions are coming from Him. We can read about this more in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We can hear the chapter in the Adi Lila, the Lord in five features, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His expansions are being explained in terms of His Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Shakti Tattva. These are all different potencies of Krishna, which are subordinate to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Master. And of course we have the internal potency of Krishna, which is one department, and for the purpose of Krishna's personal pastimes, the Yogamaya potency acts in the spiritual domain. And for the purpose of creating, maintaining and sustaining the material cosmos, the external energy is produced as Mahamaya. So it comes in three different potencies, Sri, Bhu and Nila potencies, in which the Supreme Lord Himself doesn't come into direct contact with the material energy, but His subordinate energies are coming in contact with that. So Krishna has unlimited potency, and we are very small fragments. We are His amsas, we are parts of Krishna, so we have some potency. And depending on our level of attachment to Krishna, according to our level of surrender to the Lord and our realization, the Lord can use us by surcharging us with His spiritual energy to act and perform Krishna conscious activities, or to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can see that with His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, how He was surcharged with the potency of Krishna. And if we read Srila Prabhupada's poems or His letters before coming to the West, specifically when he was about to arrive on Boston Pier. He explains how he just had faith in the chanting of the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya, who came as Krishna's devotee, who came in the mood of Krishna's devotee, explains in one of his instructions that the holy name is so charged with all shaktis, nija sarva shakti, it has all potencies. But unfortunately, we do not have any attraction for chanting these holy names of Krishna, although these holy names of Krishna have all the desired potencies. So the living entity, the expansion of Krishna, of his incarnation, can become equally surcharged with the potency of the Lord. So that was the first point, explaining how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unlimited in potency. A nice example that the Nectar of Devotion uses is the example of the Brahma Vimohana Leela, how Krishna, through his potency, bewildered the most intelligent being, Lord Brahma, expanding himself equally as the cowherd boys, as the cows of Vrindavan for one full year. So his potency was there, but at the same time, Krishna never lost his individuality. He remained full in himself. As the invocation mantra explains, Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam, that although so many complete wholes are emanating from him, he remains a complete unit. He always remains a complete whole. Although so many incarnations are coming from Krishna, although so many energies are coming from Krishna, so many jivas are coming from Krishna, Krishna never loses his potency. He remains a complete whole. Another example that the Nectar of Devotion gives is when Krishna is marrying the 16,100 princesses. They were equally the same Krishnas present at every marriage ceremony. And each time it does not mean that Krishna was limited in any of those ceremonies. He was there in his full potency. So this is very bewildering, how Krishna can be present as an individual to each and every single wife of his. But his individuality is never lost. His potency, it is never lost. So this is very, it is very pleasing to hear, for a devotee at least, it is very pleasing to hear how the Supreme Lord is so unlimited in his potencies, and at the same time, he's never diminished. The fact that he expands himself so much, the fact that he is so unlimited, it does not defeat our attraction. Rather, it increases our attraction for him. Because no one else can actually act like that. No one can claim to be the unlimited. Krishna, there's only one unlimited, and that is Krishna. Now the second point that is very good for us to know, Srila Prabhupada speaks about offenseless chanting under the guidance of the pure devotees of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada speaks that once we get to the state of offenseless chanting, when we are not committing any of the 10 offenses that we recite every morning, we can fully understand the transcendental nature of the holy name and surrender to the Lord. That it is not just a philosophical book theory. Yeah, you understand, you know, the potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the name and the person and are different. Yes, it is not far-fetched, but it is factual that when one finishes with their offensive mentality, then they can actually access the real holy name instead of just chanting the shadow or just chanting the alphabets. We are actually chanting the real name of Krishna. We understand there's a wonderful bhajan that I'm not sure who wrote it, Narottam Das Thakur, I'm not sure how the holy name of the Lord is directly coming from the spiritual world. Can anyone remember that? Golokara Prema Dan Harinam Sankirtan. Now that is where the holy name is coming from. Nothing from Goloka is material. Nothing from Goloka experiences duality. So the holy name is coming directly from Goloka. We understand through Lord Brahma that the holy name is coming directly from Krishna's flute. When Krishna's flute enters the ears of the jivas, it is the holy name. It is the holy name and more. We understand that by understanding how the holy name is none different from Krishna, we can understand everything in totality. We can actually understand the transcendental nature of the spiritual world. We can understand the nature of this material world. We can understand Krishna, the person. So this is all contained in his name, in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So it is possible for the limited, the anu, the tiny spiritual spark to understand or get a glimpse of the unlimited Krishna. And we do this by connecting with him by the process of devotional service. And we are engaged in this devotional service by his pure devotee and by the assembled or by the congregation of those who are attached to hearing the glories of Krishna. Just as we assemble here today to hear what the sages of Namaishwanya were hearing thousands of years ago. And it was a congregation of personalities who were attracted to the topics of Krishna. Nothing else. Of course, they sat down for 7 days and seven nights, and they were hearing Bhagavatam. And it says, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Like, it is an eternal occupation. Hearing about Krishna is an eternal occupation. That's just a fact. The more you hear, the more you want to hear. Now, understanding the entire Vedic literature was revealed to Lord Brahma in four verses. And then those four verses were expanded. And each time Maharaj Pariksit is inquiring about these verses, there is so much more and more nectar that Sukadeva Goswami wants to speak. So it is not possible, as Lord Ananta, who's lying at the bottom of the universe, he is constantly chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. And there is no limit. With his unlimited mouth, with his unlimited hood, he cannot even reach the end of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those who follow in these footsteps, those who attach themselves to such great personalities, whether they be incarnations of Krishna or they be the devotees of the Lord, because as Prabhupada makes it very strong that the devotee and the incarnation can become surcharged with the potency of the Lord according to time and circumstance. So Krishna, when we're qualified, when we're pure from chanting the holy name and from engaging in service, Krishna gives us the Shakti, and that Shakti is flowing through the holy name. It is not that it's going to come through some apocalypse or some bright Big Bang that's going to happen. No, it purely comes by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra purely. So from chanting the holy name purely, we can understand that the transcendental nature of this personality will be revealed to us. And we will fully surrender. Automatically it brings about surrender. So the devotee and the incarnation of Krishna can become surcharged with the potency of the Supreme Person, of the original Supreme Person. And in that place, it does not matter in which type of birth one has taken. But it really doesn't matter. In Kali Yuga, it is explained that, you know, you take birth in Kali Yuga, it is a low birth. Whether you take birth in the Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, black body, white body, green eyes, black eyes, Kali Yuga means it's a low birth, because it is the dark age. So on that platform where we're all equal, we're all disadvantaged, we're all handicapped. The Mahaguna in Kali Yuga is that there's this chanting of the holy name, and that is how we elevate ourselves. There is no disqualification. And Lord Chaitanya, he was going to every town, every village, giving the holy name. That he said he's just one gardener and he needs help to distribute these fruits of love of God. So he was not discriminating. Therefore, we can get a glimpse and understanding that with the process of devotional service or with the process of bhakti, it does not become conditioned to where you were born or what type of body you have. Because bhakti is supreme. It is above the modes of material nature. So the potencies of Krishna allow us to actually access him in a much easier way, as opposed to other systems that might not make it easy for us to understand if we follow the strict Jnana Yoga or the Ashtanga Yoga process. It is not that easy to access the personality who is Akhila Rasamrita Murti, who is the embodiment of all different types of rasas. It is very difficult in different yoga systems, but by bhakti we understand that we can actually conquer or capture Krishna. That we know that by practicing pure devotional service, you develop, you know, a condensed, uncalculable bliss. The Nectar of Devotion is explaining this. Sandrananda Vishishatma. Incalculably condensed bliss that no one can actually penetrate. Nothing can penetrate. Jnana will not come and penetrate your pure bhakti. Yoga cannot come and penetrate your pure bhakti. Karma cannot come and penetrate your pure bhakti. That by practicing pure devotional service, our bliss in Krishna consciousness becomes thick and condensed, and we are not contaminated by other types of speculations. While we were able to capture Krishna, bhakti can control Krishna. That is why Krishna is showing by appearing in the mood of Srimati Radharani. That he doesn't understand this type of bhakti, how pure devotional service gives so much bliss to the devotee. Krishna himself wanted to actually understand what it means. That's why we have the chapter, the confidential reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he wanted to understand what is it actually that the devotees are tasting, because it looks extremely great. This bhakti, this pure bhakti, looks extremely tasteful, and he wanted to taste it himself. He wanted to understand what Srimati Radharani is feeling. He wanted to understand what is it about himself that is so attractive, and he wanted to understand the ecstasies of Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is the most Krishna conscious living entity. She's always thinking about Krishna. For her, everything is Krishna. She sees a tamal tree, it is Krishna. She sees sand dunes, it is Krishna. She sees a peacock feather, she thinks of Krishna. She's always oozing Krishna. Her tongue is always vibrating Krishna. So this is a position of pure devotional service, that by keeping this vibration of Krishna Katha on our tongue, coming from the pure devotees of the Lord, we're able to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada always stressed that we must hear from devotees. We shouldn't hear, although a non-devotee can take the same Srimad Bhagavatam, translated by Srila Prabhupada, and do a Bhagavad Saptaha for 10 or 15 days, but because he is not really joined properly or connected to the parampara, it does not produce the desired effect. So to hear from devotees, it is highly and extremely important. Right? Association of the great devotees is what allows us to dive deep into the chanting of the holy name, because we feed off the enthusiasm, we feed off their faith, we feed off their faith and conviction, their attachment and their surrender to Krishna. And from that type of association, it rubs off on us. So it's kind of like when you put crystals together, they feed off each other, the light comes through, they feed off each other and they shine brightly. with this example is also being used in the nectar of devotion. That association is like that. It's like getting a group of crystals together, and the crystals give off this powerful light, these powerful colors. So that is the power of association of the great devotees. So just like these great devotees are assembling at the Namaisharanya forest, and they're just hearing topics about Krishna, and that is how they derive great satisfaction and bliss from hearing about the unlimited person. And there's no limit to which we can hear about Krishna and Krishna's devotees. We get the same benefit from hearing about Krishna and Krishna's devotees. The entire Bhagavatam is actually full of descriptions about Krishna's devotees and Krishna. It is not just Krishna. Krishna is never alone, he's always with his devotees. So we hear simultaneously about Krishna, we hear about his devotees. We learn how Krishna deals with his devotees. We learn how Krishna reciprocates with different types of devotees, different types of living entities. We read about it, we hear it, and our faith grows and develops. We understand that Krishna is a person, he reciprocates. He's not just standing there in our heart with his club disc and lotus just standing there. He is a person and he reciprocates. The deity reciprocates. So from reading the pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the great devotees and how they relate to Krishna, we get to understand Krishna's transcendental nature. That Krishna can come in his deity form and reciprocate with us, specifically. He reciprocates. So we read about Shakti Gopal, we read about Lord Jagannath, how they reciprocate with their devotees. It should convince us that yes, Krishna can reciprocate. He's a person. He reciprocates through bhakti. And we get rid of these doubts. We do not doubt Krishna and think Krishna is too far out, he's so there, and I'm back here. But then we have Krishna's devotees who act and show us from their strong conviction that they do have relationships with Krishna, and Krishna does reciprocate with them. So this is it's a wonderful text actually, specifically the last few lines where Prabhupada speaks about how a devotee is so charged with the potency of the Lord. So Krishna is very powerful, that when we are pure and qualified, he can give us potency beyond the ability of any jiva can. And this potency fully manifests when we chant the holy name purely. To the degree that we chant the holy name purely, we can try to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna. Depending on our realization of the holy name, we accept the potency of Krishna. Namnam akari bahuda nija shava shaktis tatapita niyamitas malena kalai yatatishi tabakipa bhagavan mamati yudeja midisham ihagya nanuraga. We have no raga at this point. We have no taste for this chanting of the holy name. But Lord Chaitanya explains that it is Nija Shava Shaktis, his holy name, it is full of potency. So if we become attracted, if we practice chanting the holy name of the Lord purely, then we will be able to access these potencies and we'll be able to access the personality of Krishna. So this is what this translation is speaking about. We chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because a devotee asked us to chant Hare Krishna. Then when we start getting guidance from our Shiksha or our Diksha Gurus, they start engaging us in service, simultaneously increasing the potency of our chanting the holy name. And by doing that, we become connected with the unlimited source of all pleasure. We become connected with Krishna by the grace of Krishna's devotee. And by the grace of Krishna's pure devotee, who is like collecting the mercy from Krishna and pouring them down to dissipate our material afflictions, we come to a state of being able to actually understand the message of Vasudev Krishna. So everything is actually resting on the holy name. We have to connect ourselves with the holy name under the strict guidance And association of the great devotees of the Lord. And in that way, we can fully understand Krishna's transcendental nature and His holy name. And by doing that, we will fully surrender to Krishna. Because that is the goal of life. The goal of life is to fully surrender to Krishna. So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Is that a stretch or? Okay.
So we're talking today about the potency of the holy name. So if someone doesn't want to practice, chant the holy name, it still has some potency, but not as the same as someone that is practicing. But it's also absolute.
Yeah, the holy name does have potency, but we chant the holy name with knowledge. If you do something with knowledge, there's much more potency. So many people are chanting Hare Krishna at clubs in Bollywood. There's one guy who chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. But I don't think he's getting the realization of what he's chanting. So it has to be chanted with knowledge. That is why it says in the translation, it says, "Watch to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees." Under the direction. So we have to be directed how to chant Hare Krishna, how to practice devotional service. It is done always with guidance. So there is some potency because the holy name acts. Some Agyata Sukriti will be there. But the holy name takes us to so many different destinations. It is, you know, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of love of God. It is very deep, and you just keep going deeper and deeper. So a person, yes, on Harinam, they come, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare. You know, they do all these things, they get some benefit. But if they really want to understand who they are and who the Supreme Person is, then they require knowledge to accompany their chanting. And their chanting will go deeper and deeper and deeper, and there's no limit as to how deep you can chant. You never reach perfection of chanting because the holy name is unlimited. You can never perfect your chanting because Krishna is unlimited. So your chanting has to be accompanied by direction of the great devotees. It has to be under the direction. Potency is there, but it has to be under the direction. Yes, for a mantra.
You're speaking about Sanghanam and Shishanam with this culturally consensus.
Bliss.
And how yoga, karma, gyanadi, not penetrative. Can you repeat that a little bit?
Well, basically, it means no other cross. You know, the Nectar of Devotion speaks about different types of happiness, material happiness, happiness we get from bhakti, happiness we get from merging into Brahman. So once one tastes bhakti, the other day, I think it was Keshava Prabhu's class, he was explaining how there's been no record of any devotee becoming an impersonalist. Always we have, you know, the example of the Kumaras, Sukadev Goswami, they were Brahmavadis, Maya impersonalists, then they became attracted to Krishna. But once one, you know, becomes attracted to Krishna, as Rupa Goswami says, do not look up, you know, at the banks of the Yamuna, because you will find this blue boy holding a flute. And once you look at him, that attraction to Krishna, it is the beginning of the end of your material existence. So a devotee becomes attracted to Krishna, and all these other things are not as attractive. They do not taste pleasure because Krishna has the highest pleasure. So all these processes of karma, the processes of jnana, processes of yoga, they are nothing in comparison to the happiness and pleasure derived by serving Krishna. That's why at that point anything else that presents itself, mukti can come and present itself, but a devotee is not even attracted to that. They're just attracted to serving Krishna. Okay.
gospel.
Is there ways that we can know we're chanting senselessly? Because, like you're saying, you can never affect the chanting, so that can be, disheartening.
When I say we can never perfect our chanting, I don't mean that everyone should walk out of here and think, what's the point? Why should I chant? Because I'll never perfect my chanting, so I chant at all. Well, never perfect our chanting, it means it's like trying to know Krishna in full. We can't. But we'll never perfect our chanting means the deeper we go, the more we realize there's more that we can go. Like the deeper you go into the ocean, you realize that there's more stuff to find in the ocean. I'm going to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's an endless task, a very pleasurable and endless task. So we know we're chanting offenselessly. First of all, we know when we're committing offenses. Right? We know the 10 offenses. You know, criticizing, etc., etc. We take these vows at initiation. We say it every morning. And to the degree we have faith in the holy name, if we do not have faith in Krishna or Krishna's devotee, it basically indicates how strong our chanting is. Do we see Krishna's hand every single day in our lives? Or when something goes wrong, do we back up and say, okay, Krishna, why are you doing this? Because basically that means we do not have faith in Krishna. We do not have faith that Krishna knows what he's doing. So when our chanting is offenseless, we understand Krishna's transcendental nature. As this purport says, we chant offenselessly when we actually understand Krishna's transcendental nature and when we fully surrender. Now we can read about surrender in the book Sharanagati or Harinam Chintamani, accepting things that are favorable for bhakti, rejecting things that are not favorable for bhakti, being convinced that Krishna will give one protection, you know, being humble and completely surrendering to Krishna. When we've done all of that, we know that we've passed the offensive chanting. When we fully surrender and when we understand the transcendental nature of Krishna, which means we understand the deity is not just wood or stone. We understand when I chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is there. We don't chant and read the notice board. We don't chant and go here and there. We actually understand Krishna is in his name. So we become extremely attentive in our service. We do everything properly because we understand Krishna is none different from devotional service. That's when we know we've passed the offensive stage. We know we're not being offensive because we are understanding Krishna's potencies. And from understanding that, you surrender, you understand everything is basically, it's Krishna is running everything. The material energy, that belongs to Krishna, it's subordinate to Krishna. The internal potency, that belongs to Krishna. Everything is belonging to Krishna. We become humbled, I own nothing. So we understand Krishna's transcendental nature in terms of his working in this material world and in the spiritual world. And we understand how to relate to people. We understand how to relate to devotees. They're also Mama Isvamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, the eternal fragmental parts of Krishna. They're parts of Krishna. When you offer obeisances to each other, we're actually offering respect to Krishna and the devotee, of course. The super soul and the devotee are always together. So we're understanding the potency. Krishna is there. We don't become mechanical and lackadaisical. So how do we know we're chanting offenses? See, we're not committing the 10 offenses of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We do not equate Krishna with a material existence or a material body. And we surrender to Krishna. We look at these 6 items of surrender and we see where we're at. Anything else? Would you like to add anything to your brother? Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for watching my Bhagavatam ki. Krishna Prabhupada ki. Shri Vaidya Bhaktivinoda ki. That is my goal for my day.